And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A beautiful day here yesterday in Nashville. Going to be a beautiful day again here today. Joe Rex Road, what's going on? Welcome back to our fine city here today from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis.
Yeah, and thanks. And thanks, to your neck of the woods for – I love one lane on 65 for long stretch around 9 p.m. It's awesome.
Real good stuff that we can provide for you up here.
I appreciate that. Got me home a little bit late to watch the really excellent Predators game last night.
Yeah, we'll get more into that coming up into a second because that was a doozy last night. Michelle, what's going on? How are we doing?
Guys, I am feeling great this morning. I fell asleep before the pregame show. So I fell asleep around 7:30 and the weather is just beautiful. So I'm nice and chipper this morning. It's going to be a good day.
So you went to sleep at 7:30 last night?
I went to sleep at 7:30 and I don't know why I don't do it more often.
I think your restfulness and joy is going to bother me today.
That's okay. Hopefully I'll rub some off on you, Joe.
That's what I need. That's exactly what I need.
Well, Joe, I did not go to sleep at 7:30 last night, although I wish I would have. But I stayed up for the entire Preds game last night. You know, it's March, big time of year, important hockey games. You're on TNT, nationally televised game. I stayed up for the game against the Kraken, and whew, that was quite something. First off, I have many takeaways, the number one of which being this, that is an absolutely horrible loss for the Nashville Predators. And anybody today that tries to tell you any differently, do not listen to them. It was a horrible loss for the Nashville Predators last night. The puck execution part of it was really from start to finish in that game. They couldn't get out of their own way from icing the puck in the first period, and there's a lot of things that they just looked off on. They switched up some lines. Tanner Jeannot moved up with Johansson to begin the game. Philip Tomasino moved down in the lineup. You know, as the game went on, they started to switch up lines again. So I don't know what their lineup's going to look like coming up on Saturday against San Jose, but execution-wise with the puck wasn't good. Defensively, especially in the second period there, I don't know what the heck they were doing on defense. It was just totally atrocious, to be honest with you. I mean, there were some switches that they didn't make. You know, a couple of times the defenseman pinched up really for no reason, and then all of a sudden there's two-on-ones going the other way, and you thought to yourself, okay, well, even with all that in mind, it's 3-3 heading into the third period. You're in a spot where you've not played all that well. The Predators go on the power play in the third period, and it's like, okay, here they go. And immediately a shorthanded goal. Philip Forsberg's loafing back behind the net, gets stripped behind the net, loops around instead of going after the guy that just took the puck from him. And Roman Josi, you know, didn't box out Colin Blackwell and gave him about five whacks at the net there for UC Soros. That's the game-winning goal. The Predators had, what, two shots on goal for basically the entire third period until the flurry late. It was just a brutal, atrocious loss last night.
Yeah, that's one of the plays that just – you know, we talk about Josi all the time, praise Josi all the time. Great player. Like, man, hit the guy, right? Is it not that simple? You hit Blackwell, and he does not have a chance to finally poke that game-winning goal in. Like,
drive him into the boards from the center of the ice. Yes,
I felt like, you know, like you said, a lot of bad execution early, but you know, you get the Tomasino goal. And you're kind of – I felt like it was like kind of close to the vest kind of game, right? And then you get the separation with Duchesne's first goal. And then it was like, okay, there's the separation. And then just stop playing? Like 2 minutes and 20 seconds of just, wait, how'd that happen? That again? What? Huh? I mean, it's just bad news bears stuff, man.
Well, I'm listening to the TNT broadcast last night, which, again, I think largely – they do a really good job, but they're sitting there talking about how like the Predators with their schedule don't have any legs. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, they've had multiple days off basically for the last 2 weeks. So I don't buy the not having any legs thing. Although I will say it looked like that in the third period because they were just getting stripped left and right and couldn't get the puck. But yeah, that was just, it was really a brutal loss last night. I think that was the worst loss of the entire season last night. And I know, you know, they've largely played well this year. They've overachieved to some degree, although the standings are getting ready to get to the point, if this continues, where I don't know how much overachieving we're going to be talking about at this point. They've lost 6 of 8 at this point. I mean, this is not a good stretch for the Nashville Predators. And that's a Seattle Kraken team that had lost 7 games in a row. There's no business of you losing to Seattle last night. And now you've dropped 2 of 3 to them this year. That's not acceptable.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable. And, you know, last week, those two huge wins, you know, to me made it sound, okay, they figured it out. You put the 4 in a row away. They figured it out. Everything's fine. And like you said, I don't know why with those days, why they would have some huge physical issue in this game. Now, like mentally, emotionally, coming off last week, okay, that's fine. But again, I mean, I feel like that extra time also should help you. You have a chance to practice, reset, and all that stuff. Again, it was like in the middle of a game, and it just looked to me like a team that's like, okay, you get the separation on them, and you're going to be fine. You're going to cruise. And all of a sudden you get smacked in the face, and it's a bad deal. Dallas wins again. So now you're talking about what, a point with a Dallas with a game in hand. Yeah.
Yeah. Dallas is 1 point behind you now, and they've passed you up in points percentage, which means, I mean, obviously you're going to see them again coming down the stretch, but you had at 1 point coming like right out of the break, pretty big lead against Dallas, and it's totally evaporated at this point. Now you're right there in the mix with Edmonton and Anaheim and Vancouver. You know, Winnipeg's technically still in there right there. I mean, you're in a very precarious spot right now if you're the Predators. Yes, you're still technically in the same spot you were yesterday, but the standings are shifting, and this has become a pretty crucial stretch here. Like, you've got to win Saturday, and that sets up a huge week next week when you've got Dallas at home, Anaheim at home. Those are two teams that are directly behind you in the standings. St. Louis at home as well, that's in front of you, and then Minnesota. I mean, next week is massive, but forget next week for a second. Like, you got to get through. You got to win San Jose. Like, you can't go through this West Coast road trip and not get any points out of it against two teams that are near the bottom of the standings in the West. That's last night's loss. It was just atrocious. 22 shots on goal against the Seattle Kraken. And look, credit to the Kraken. I mean, obviously, they played well in the third period, and you know, a couple former Preds with Callie Yarncroke and Colin Blackwell scoring against them, but.
Oh, yeah.
Last night, make no mistake about it, was 100% on what the Preds did not do more than it was on what the Kraken did do.
Yeah, I mean, they had nothing going. You know, for all the Preds' mistakes and everything, like the Kraken getting any kind of a moderate shot from the outside on Saros in the first, you know, period plus was like, oh, good job, guys. All right. You know, I mean,
yeah.
They had nothing going. That's what they are. I mean, they are an actual legit expansion team, you know, that is now 17-34-5 and a minus 55 goal differential. You know, there's an expansion team.
Yeah.
Lost twice to them. Pretty wild.
Yeah, it's wild. And I thought last night Philip Forsberg was not good. And he's been really good all year long, obviously. And we've talked so much about him. Last night, to me, was probably his worst game of the year. I didn't think he was very good. And, you know, he still had some looks offensively. You know, had a good look towards the end of the game, too, when they were trying to tie it up with a quick snapshot that Driedger was there for. But I just thought attention to detail-wise last night, not just him, but him specifically stood out to me. That play when you get stripped behind the net like that on the power play, that's not a good look from Philip Forsberg.
No, I mean, it's because I thought the same thing. Like, yeah, they're going to be Figure it out. Now they get, and they had a nice, to set up that penalty. You know, they had a, if I recall correctly, they had a good forecheck going, and it's like, okay, you kind of wobble a little bit. This happens. Stabilize, retake the lead, and get back to, keeping them completely clamped down. And instead, immediately Blackwell comes down. Blackwell's pretty fired up too.
He was
against his old team. And well, Yarncroak was he got it going a little bit once they opened it up.
Yeah, he did. No question about it. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, "Tell Joe I'm sorry. Tanner Janot didn't get the first goal last night, but he had an opportunity or so. So have a good day, gentlemen." Now, this is a guy that on the text line yesterday, before Preds Pick to Click even happened, wanted you to take Tanner Janot, and you did. He did have at least one good look that I can remember last night, but no dice for Tanner Janot last night.
Yep. And it was interesting, as so much as we've talked about it. So, the interesting thing with Janot and really everything, this seems like one of those games where, okay, what's the lineup change that results from this? Like, is this a game where the head coach, feels like a little bit of a message could be sent, or also feels like, okay, you got to tweak some things. Like, what results from this lineup wise?
Oh, that's a great question. Look, I said this last night, and as the game went on, it became more difficult for me to just single this person out because it was really everybody last night, being honest with you, outside of UC Saros. Like, it's pretty obvious when they've got a defenseman that goes down that Philip Myers and Ben Harper are not good enough. I know Ben Harper wasn't in there last night, and Mark Borowiecki came back in. But every time I watch Philip Myers out there, I'm just like, geez, man, it's just not good enough. And I said it last night on Twitter, Ben Harper and Philip Myers to me are not NHL defensemen. They're just not. And I know some people may disagree with that, and that's fine. When you start talking about seventh and eighth defensemen, I don't think it's really that much of a stretch to say they're not NHL defensemen. But we've talked so much on the show about, what you could do at the deadline if you're David Poile. And, we talked yesterday about Ryan Johansson in that spot. I was kind of surprised to see them break up Tanner Janot and put him up there. Now, as the game went on, Janot went back down to the Sissons line. So I don't know what they're going to do when it comes to that area. But another area you could take a look at to me is a veteran D-man that I don't think would cost that much. Like, it's unrealistic to me to just expect your defense corps to remain completely healthy coming down the stretch. And it's pretty obvious to me at this point that when one of them's hurt and Ben Harper or Philip Myers have to play, I mean, it's just a pretty steep drop off. I don't think there's any way around it.
Yeah. Killer mistake by Myers, just sloppy, puck management on one of those goals. And I think the second of the goals, but
yeah.
I mean, I still think he's better than Harper.
I agree.
And he made some plays last night, but it's hard to trust him.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators. Take more of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. How concerned are you at this point with the Predators and their performance after the All-Star break? We'll get to that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
John, I know the penalty kill has been, a source of pride for you guys this year for most of the season. But tonight, the way you guys lost this game, I know you handle losses differently and it can accept some more than others. But is it a little harder to accept tonight just because of the way that you guys lost the game?
Well, look what happened on the power play. It goes back to the two areas that I talked about. We have a zone entry on the power play. We don't execute. We have a inherent pass, they wind up in an odd man rush, and then our attention to detail coming in the zone. We got one guy on the puck, two guys back. There's a turnover. One guy swings away when he was right on the guy, and then the guy gets three whacks at it. So again, it goes back to puck execution, 5-on-5 in on the power play, and our attention to detail when we don't have the puck wasn't where it needed to be.
That was John Hines after the game last night. Not a very happy John Hines after the game last night against the Kraken, nor should he have been with the game that the Predators put out there last night. They lose 4-3 in Seattle. That's a bad loss last night for the Nashville Predators. And that's the play that really, I think, stands out in the game that he's talking about. If you're on the power play, Forsberg's wheeling around the net, Blackwell makes the play, and it's just one of those things where you look back and you say, did we really lose the game on a shorthanded goal when you have a power play in the third period? And that's the other thing, Joe, is they got another power play after that. And I'm not going to say it was just as bad from the first unit because they didn't give up a goal, but they couldn't get anything going on the power play. I mean, they couldn't get the puck. There was a couple opportunities, and I think Seattle is one missed pass away from having basically a 2-on-0 heading into the zone shorthanded. I mean, they were obviously being really aggressive on the penalty kill in the third period last night, and the Predators didn't have an answer for that last night.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can't get worse than actually giving up the goal, but still, it's like, I don't know. It's like the whole thing just kind of fell apart on them, you know, in that little stretch when, again, the first, 30 minutes of the game or so, it's going probably about exactly as you'd expect. I mean, you know, actually listening to, you know, Pete Weber and Hal Gill on our station, you know, and Hal kind of talking about, you know, this is like you go in against a team like this and you want to, like, let's crush them, you know, but you also know that, like, it's just not usually not going to be that simple. They're going to play a kind of a tight game. You have to just kind of, you know, you have to keep it controlled and methodically find those opportunities. And again, that's exactly what happened. And then it's hard to explain what happened after that, after it got to 2-0.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. James texting in says, at the beginning of the year, David Poile called this a competitive rebuild year. The Predators have come back down to earth now, and we're starting to play like a competitive rebuild team. I'm worried that Forsberg may be on the way out if that is indeed what this season amounts to. This is coming from James on the text line. Well, that's what it's going to be from here on out. Until he signs a contract, like that's what it's going to be. I mean, I guess my question for you is, you know, you go through a 4-game losing streak immediately out of the break. You have a huge win, I thought, against Florida. You grind one out against Dallas. I thought at 5-on-5, they played pretty well against Tampa Bay in spurts in that game. Second period, notwithstanding, but in spurts, they played well in that game. And then you come out and you just have a clunker last night. So I don't think it's been like a straight line of things that you're just not happy with if you're the Predators over this stretch. But the fact of the matter remains, you've lost 6 of 8 games coming out of the All-Star break. What's your concern level at this point as they head into a stretch now where they've got like 28 games in the next 58 days or whatever it is?
Well, certainly after a game like that, it's got to be above, you know, the middle. I mean, it's again, I thought last week, if you can break it up in different ways, but 6 of 8 is 6 of 8. I thought last week was an overall good week and it seemed like a stabilizing week. Then you have this stinker. It's every, you know, lose to San Jose and it gets a little bit louder of, okay, here's the reality. And now you really wonder about Forsberg. Yeah. You know, win that game and have a good week next week and you get back to being in a good position. I mean, at least after the San Jose game, like there's going to be so many games that it's just going to be a nightly prove yourself and battle for that spot. And I think they've played well enough this year and for more than just little brief glimpses that I still think it, you know, if this team does what it's going to need to do to get to the playoffs, then it's a dangerous team. But you know, it's definitely concerning some of these mistakes and just inconsistencies right now at this point of the year.
Well, we had talked about, you know, what was it, 3-4 weeks ago, right before the break, you know, I went to moneypuck.com and again, this is not, you know, gospel or anything, but their playoff percentage chances were 95%. They're right around 95%. To make the playoffs. And with this stretch that they've gone on after the All-Star break, they've dropped down to 47.3. So you've gone from 95 to 47.3. So now we're talking about, I mean, the cushion that you had built up for the playoffs, just getting in the playoffs was a decent sized cushion before the break. And now that's been totally evaporated at this point, in part with how poorly you've played, or at least from the results part of it, how poorly you've played. And in part because Dallas looks like they've started to figure it out a little bit. And we'll see about Anaheim and Vancouver and all that stuff. But Dallas has figured it out. And Edmonton, as inconsistent as Edmonton is, and I know that they're inconsistent, and I don't trust them whatsoever to make any type of playoff run, even though they have two of maybe the top five players in the league in Draisaitl and McDavid. But they do play in the Pacific, and the Pacific is weaker than the Central is. So the opportunity to collect points if your team's like Edmonton, I think, is there on a more frequent basis than it is with the Predators. So, I mean, I'm pretty concerned. Like, it's hard to not come away from a game like last night and be concerned a little bit, but this is now moved from a team that I thought was pretty squarely a playoff team to now I have some real concerns as to whether or not they're going to get in there.
Right. So then now you take that, the nightly, I mean, again, you're going to get a chance to, at least you're not going to have too many situations like this where now the Preds have to stew on this loss.
Yeah.
You know, for a couple of days, like there, here's the next one. Here's the next one. And meanwhile, however things go, you've got the negotiations with Forsberg and depending on which way it goes, if it goes the wrong way, the way you don't want it to go, you know, then not only, you know, do you have less, cause to keep him, but then you wonder what that says to him. As the earlier texter said, I mean, I feel like this season has probably brightened his view, just like most people, of like where things are going. But, you know, if all of a sudden you fall out of a playoff spot, do you worry even more about it's, that's not what the negotiations are about, but I'm just saying, do you worry more about then going to the summer, you know, if you fail, if you hold on to him, and then it's easier for him to find grass that's greener on some other side.
Yeah. I think that's a legitimate concern. April on Twitter says, she's not concerned. They haven't had a chance to get in a groove. Starting next week, they're playing a lot of games, and that will tell us a lot. I feel they do better when they're playing a lot of games. Helps them stay in sync. Not vibing right now. Philip was absolutely atrocious last night. It's coming from April on Twitter.
It was such a optimistic post, April, and then you come with the atrocious. I like that. You're not wrong.
He was not good last night.
Yeah. And, again, the Yossi, I mean, Hines – said it there without saying who. He's not calling out names, but like the Yossi play to me is bothersome. Like,
yeah,
you're just kind of weakly trying to poke at the puck there, like put a body on somebody, and yeah, he does not get that goal.
I know. It was just concerning really all the way around in the third period last night. Now, a positive for the Predators, I think a congratulations is in order to Roman Yossi, 500 career points in the NHL. He picked it up on Tomasino's goal last night with a secondary assist. He had another assist in the game on a Duchene goal as well. So now more than 500 points in the NHL for Roman Yossi. That's a big deal.
That's a big number. Not the game that you wanted to happen.
It is not the game that you wanted to happen, and I don't think there's any question about that. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We will get back into the Predators later in the show. Joe Rexroth is fresh off the NFL Combine up in Indianapolis, and it was quite the interesting day in Indianapolis for John Robinson and the Titans. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroth here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Pretty good, though, I guess. I want to stick to football. I don't know if he hit the curve. I mean, easier to hit out of a batting cage when it's just coming straight at you.
Oh, yeah, John Robinson with the jokes yesterday discussing A.J. Brown and his, I guess, potential baseball career out there. A.J. been making some noise lately talking about baseball. Of course, who knows if baseball is ever going to be played again at the major league level. That's a story for another day, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Fun stuff from John Robinson yesterday. We got a lot to sift through on that front. Joe Rexroth was live in person in Indianapolis yesterday for J. Rob, Mike Vrabel, and the combine for the Titans part of it yesterday. Now, there's all sorts of stuff going on up there. I mean, prospects are being interviewed. Quarterbacks are being interviewed. I saw a variety of different opinions on Malik Willis yesterday from a quarterback standpoint. But John Robinson and Mike Vrabel addressing the media yesterday as well. Joe, I think there's a lot to sift through with those two from yesterday, and we'll do that throughout the show. But I think the one part of yesterday that really generated the most attention was a response from John Robinson on a question from Chris Harris, who we'll have on later in the show at 8 o'clock, about basically, you know, what he could do better, you know, as he's making a list of things that, you know, happened this past season. What are some of those things on the list that he thinks he could do better? And that led to, really, to me, an unexpected and emotional response from John Robinson. Here's what John Robinson had to say yesterday at the NFL Combine.
Last season ended and you had a second to kind of reassess and you get out your notepad and write down things like, what could I have done better? What's on that list?
Yeah, that's what keeps me up at night, is the trust that ownership has put in me, our fans, and I mean, that stadium was rocking now. And you can only imagine what it would have been like the next week. So, pretty long list of stuff that I got to be better at.
That was John Robinson yesterday at the Combine. And Joe, you were sitting basically right next to John Robinson as this is taking place. What was your reaction to his answer there and how emotional he became with that answer?
Yeah, Michelle, you did cut that down, right?
Oh yeah, it's been cut for sure.
Yeah, that's what
which is good.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't want, but. Just yes. So people know, like that was, I counted it because, you know, I wrote about it today too, but yeah, it was 31 seconds, the initial pause as he tried to compose himself. Yeah. And I mean, look, it's interesting too. Like, you know, after it was done, I told a few of my colleagues about it and it was like, what, really? You know, it's like, it's just things, you know, don't expect that from a NFL GM. John Robinson definitely is a hard on the sleeve kind of guy. And I mean, my take was, it was a good illustration of how that loss was received in that building. Not that anyone should be surprised by that, but you know, it's season ends and you got your pressers and, you know, Vrabel's reaction probably after the game was the emotion of kind of lashing out, right?
Yeah.
Like it's very different. But then you just have your season-ending stuff and you kind of move on. It was, I think, to me, it was a good reminder of just the opportunity that was lost here, you know, and how hard that hit the people who work for this team and are in charge of trying to put it all together. So, I thought it was a human moment, and there are not a ton of those.
No.
Really, there aren't enough of those probably in the NFL in general, and certainly not the NFL scouting combine. It, you know, I didn't even know that we were going to do this yesterday because it doesn't, I guess it normally does happen, but it's been a couple of years. You know, you have your podium time, and then it was like, okay, locals only, come follow John. And so actually he's like, he was standing there and he's like, this is too stiff, you know, this is too stuffy or something like that to Robbie Bourne. And I was like, how about go sit in the stands? He's like, let's go. And everybody's like, are you serious? So, but it actually was that we crowded around him in the stands, you know? And it was surprising. And certainly the question was just sort of, you know, it was a basic question, like what's on your list of, but Chris, Harris, but you know, the beginning of the question was like, if you had a moment after it ended, and I think that brought him to the, you know, to thinking about it. So I put, of course, I'm sitting there not taking video and there's this long pause. I'm like, I think I should get video of this. So I turn my phone into a video, you know, put the camera on, a technological whiz.
Were
that
you
I
just
am.
Going to say you turned your phone into a video? That was what was going to come out of your mouth, wasn't it?
That, yeah, you know, you turned it into a picture thingy, moving picture thingy type dealy.
Nice motion picture from Rex Road yesterday, which, as we know, we've talked about several times, award-winning videos from this man.
Once again. Yeah, like if you watch this video, it's like, wait, this is what is going on here? You know, it's like an incomplete answer. But I was like, I got to get some video of this. Put it on Twitter. Seemed like the response was largely like a lot of like, that's my jam, you know?
Yeah.
But look, I mean, if you're a Titans fan, doesn't make you feel any better about like the loss. It probably brings it back up, you know, 2 months after, as you're trying to get over it. But I thought it was a good reminder of just what a bad and crushing loss that was.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I mean, that's kind of the first place my mind went when I saw the video that was put out there. I think Cal Baxter may have been the first one where I saw video from. But there, I mean, there's video all over the place of J-Rob yesterday. And that was my first thought was, man, that Bengals loss is still sticking with him. I mean, the second thought was, well, I mean, this is a good reminder of, you know, I think how much he cares, how much, you know, I think he takes the responsibility of being the general manager of the Titans personally and the trust that, I mean, he talked about it with Amy Adams Strunk. And I think it's pretty clear that this area means a great deal to him as well. Obviously, he's from the state of Tennessee. So there's a lot that kind of goes through the mind there. Now, all that's great. And, you know, I said this yesterday on Twitter. I think J-Rob has largely done a really good job. There are things that are going to have to get better. But I think the thing to keep in mind is he's largely done a really good job. Now, again, seeing the general manager cry yesterday does not make me feel any differently about the loss. Like, it is a missed opportunity, and I go back to the quarterback position and the future of that, and there's still the same issues that the Titans are going to have to figure out as they move forward here. But it was, I guess, a human moment is the way to describe it pretty well yesterday from John Robinson that I did not expect. And to your point, I think that just shows you the Titans know they had a team that could have at least been in a Super Bowl this past year. And it was an opportunity that they just let slip right through their hands. And I think you saw a little bit of that from John Robinson yesterday.
Yeah, no question. And of course, and look, for anybody, I wouldn't know. I don't know if anyone would even go there, but like, you know, this wasn't manufactured, you know, like some kind of like sympathy. I mean, he didn't want to, you know, he didn't want that to be on display, you know, but that has, actually, it's interesting. I was talking with some of the other writers, talking to Glennon yesterday. Remember, they did the uniform reveal on Broadway, which was pretty cool. And they had a video that accompanied that, and part of it was him being interviewed about like growing up in Tennessee and you know doing this job. And he actually broke down during that. So you know that's kind of who he is. You don't see it a ton, but. But yesterday also involved, and I ended up writing a lot about this because, you know, and I wasn't sure because, I mean, plenty of statements have been made, but it actually turned into a lot of talk about Ryan Tannehill again from John Robinson, from Mike Vrabel. And I, to me, it was noteworthy just in that there was a lot more said, I think. Again, just like this, nothing that's going to change anything, nothing that's going to, you know, make any Titans fan feel better about things, but just a little bit more on the mindset of Tannehill, how things ended, how he's played overall, where things are going and all that. So that was actually, you know, really right before that exchange with Robinson was a pretty good back and forth on Tannehill, including, and I asked him, like, at any point did you make a call? At any point did you have in your mind? Now, look, I fully understand that, you know, a GM could have made 20 calls to try to unload a player. And if he knows the player's coming back next year, he's probably not going to say, yeah, so I called. Here's the teams I called.
Yeah.
Here's, you know, but
here's the timestamp.
Yeah, right. But the answer was, you know, like, no. So take it for what it is, Titans fans. It is, it has gotten to the point of like Ryan Tannehill, public enemy number one. It's like, maybe it's not quite that bad, everybody. But you, we talked about this back in January, like over time, you know, it's probably going to, well, I think for some people anyway, you're going to be able to look back a little bit and say, okay, like he's done more good things than bad. What can you do to, what can you do to be great around him? That's going to be the constant theme this offseason.
Yep. I don't think there's any question about that. We'll take your thoughts on John Robinson's comments yesterday. What did you think of John Robinson's emotional response? We'll also get to some of Joe's thoughts on some other thoughts that Vrabel and J-Rob had yesterday at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. That's coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
There are things that we all evaluate, and it, you know, when we make mistakes at the end of the game or the end of the season, I think that's what you, unfortunately, what you have to point to. And Ryan's won too many games for us. He's been a part of too many huge victories for us. Done too much for us to use that. Now we have to be better. You know, that's unacceptable. Ryan knows that. He'll tell you that. You know, can't make some of those mistakes. But there's also, he's not the only one out there making mistakes. I've told you this. It'll never be about one person. I know how critical the quarterback is to the success of the team. But, you know, we'll get back to work. And you know, I'm confident that some of these issues that we had in all three phases will get fixed.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis discussing Ryan Tannehill. We'll get to more thoughts on that here in just a second. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. So, Joe, we heard comments there from Mike Vrabel. John Robinson, as you said in the last segment, talked a lot about Ryan Tannehill yesterday as well. What did you make of the conversation on Ryan Tannehill? And what did you make specifically of the way that Vrabel and Robinson addressed him and the quarterback position yesterday?
Well, look, it was, you know, I guess it was repetitive to some extent. I guess it was just a little bit more in depth. You know, a few things, one interesting thing I thought out of that, and I kind of went through, really, I went through and had this basically every word they said, in the thing I wrote, but one interesting exchange was Terry McCormick saying, you know, do you go back to 2019 and 2020 to look at like Tannehill at his best? And, you know, Vrabel's like, well, there's a lot of instances from last year. Like, you don't have to go back too far and say, like, this is what we want, but also this is what we don't want. But then Vrabel also brings up, you know, 19 interceptions, which, of course, is the total with regular season and playoff, which is just a huge number. Yeah. And as Vrabel said, you can't throw 19 interceptions. Both of them sort of had the, you know, Robinson. I think they both brought up like there were good moments last year, but Robinson also, you know, to me, maybe I guess you could say amended a little bit, talking about, like, you know, was it the Ben Arthur Q&A? I think that's right, because there was the Ben Arthur Q&A, then there was also stuff he said at the Senior Bowl. But at one point he said, you know, what we're going to judge on one bad game. And he, you know, he sort of acknowledged it wasn't just one bad game, you know, but a lot of the same things they also said good about him. Love his leadership, commanded the football team. Yeah. I mean, the quote Robinson, he had some bad games last year, which is a little bit more, you know, realistic look at or assessment of Tannehill than, oh, you know, one bad game. It wasn't one bad game. The last bad game, I mean, to me, puts all the stuff that came before it in a different light.
Yeah.
And I think, but a lot of the same stuff that still, I mean, I think people who are totally out on Tannehill are not going to like hearing, like, you know, everybody makes, you know, it wasn't just him and all that stuff. You know, there was other people made mistakes and, you know, I mean, look, he's their quarterback. So a certain level of support. Another thing I would push back on a little bit is, you know, Vrabel right there in the clip we listened to, you know, Ryan will tell you that. Well, that's another problem here is that he really didn't.
Yeah.
You know, which leaves it until whatever, you know, mini camp, I guess, next time he probably talks to revisit it, I guess. Why not?
Yeah, let's get back down there when mini camp comes. You really get back into this thing. So, Ryan, tell me about that loss 6 months ago. But it's going to happen. And look,
yeah, I mean, it's going to come
up. It
should
happen. Yeah, yeah, it should happen. I mean, that's the way this works. I thought it was interesting kind of to talk about and hear Robinson talk about, you know, at one point the conversation got into, you know, Tannehill elevating the play of others. And, you know, essentially what John Robinson said in that clip was, you know, we've seen him do it before. And I think he gave an example this year of the San Francisco game and the run he had to get down in position and, you know, some of the plays he made this year. But, you know, he brought up those type of plays getting lost in this kind of year when you have the way that the game ends and the way that the game plays out in Cincinnati. I hear what he's saying there, but also my mind is just like, well, that's great, but you need your quarterback to elevate you in games like Cincinnati. And when that doesn't happen, should that not change your view on what the quarterback is and can be for you moving forward? That's kind of the takeaway I had from that part of the conversation. I understand what Robinson's trying to say there. And look, to me, it became even more clear yesterday that he's going to be the quarterback next year, even though I thought it was pretty clear heading into it. But when he started talking about like the San Francisco game and different points this year where Tannehill elevated their play, I was like, well, that's great. The last time you saw him play and the last few times out in the postseason, he has not done that. And that's where this team, that's the expectation for this team now, is to do some things in the postseason.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's interesting because so that was a question, I think, from Kaharski about, okay, but does he have to elevate others? And before he started talking about the San Fran game, he started with, I think we've seen that in years past. We got to get back to that, you know, and then, yeah. and then he said, and we saw it some last year, you know, and then he went to the San Fran. So it's one of those. So he kind of brought it back to 2019 and 2020, right? In a different point, McCormick asked Vrabel about that. But yeah, look, it's, I mean, no one said, hey, he's the QB. And so you just got to hope for the best, but that's what this is, you know, to a large extent. Yes. It's also the charge of those guys, to try to figure out exactly what, you know, what the rest of the roster gives you the best chance. But I mean, a lot of the next year, and this isn't comforting, I understand it, for Titans fans, is just hoping that Ryan Tannehill rediscovers 2019 and 2020 Ryan Tannehill. But yes, and I agree. I mean, look, he had good games last year. It wasn't all bad, but there was a lot more bad. I mean, there was way more bad last year, obviously, than in the first 2 years combined, and it was a lot more like what people thought he was in Miami. So next year is, you got to support him and you got to put things around him. And then you got to basically at some point just hope that, that 2 years of him, if you want to be optimistic, it wasn't like, oh, if you hope you can get back to that 4-game stretch from 2019, or hope you can get back to the, you know, the back to back great games you had in 2020. I mean, it was long enough stretch that you would think it would be possible. But then how much is his confidence shaken by how this ended? And how does he handle, I mean, he's viewed completely differently, I think, by this fan base and in this city.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that, you know, opening day is going to roll around next year and Ryan Tannehill is going to get booed coming out of the tunnel or anything like that. Like, I think that
fresh off three interceptions, Ryan Tannehill. Let's hope he doesn't throw one today.
Although, give me more commentary. I would love it. It's amazing every time that happens. But yeah. Go ahead, Michelle.
I was going to say, Joe, why don't you be the announcer next time they have auditions?
Oh, I'm not. I can't do that. I'm good for a very brief little parody. I could never do that. Those people. He's got a booming, beautiful voice.
He does. There's no question about it. And it was on display last year. Good stuff. But like, I say, it's not like he's going to get booed out of the tunnel or anything. I think he does have to know, though, that the noise on him is loud. This is also not the first time that he's dealt with this, though. Like, the end of his time in Miami, it wasn't the same situation because they had not had any sort of playoff success whatsoever, and they were obviously not winning divisions every year. So it's a different situation here in Tennessee than it was for him in Miami. But he's been through a situation before where he was viewed a certain way, and he came to Tennessee, and he responded really well. I'm not saying that's going to happen again, but at least this is not like he's not been like through something like this before. I would hope that would help.
Yes. You know, it's interesting, too, from the fan perspective. I don't recall, you know, Mariota, I mean, the worst Mariota games at the end there before Tannehill took over for him was like the game at Jacksonville and, of course, the game at Denver, the last one. Just awful, awful. Just offensive performances all the way around. And from him, you know, I don't really ever remember the crowd turning on Mariota. You know, I'm sure a smattering of boos here or there. You know, I think next year I could see, it's different. This is not Philly. You know, this is not some NFL towns where it's like the first third down incompletion you throw, you get better brace yourself, you get booed out of the building. But
yeah,
I do wonder if you know, especially early, if you have a slow start, you have some three and outs or whatever, like are the boos quick to come out next year?
I mean, they could be. I mean, I think some of those might be directed more at Todd Downing than they are Ryan Tannehill, because there's still, I think, a portion of the fan base that is screaming louder at Todd Downing than they are Ryan Tannehill at this point. Not a lot, but I think there's some that exist that way.
But see, what do? You try to like boo toward the booth?
Yeah. You just
direct your booth, your head upward.
Yeah. Maybe that's what you got to do.
I don't know. Yeah, but you're right. There are some. And of course, that was another interesting thing yesterday that, especially Vrabel got into, is the Tim Kelly dynamic.
Yes. Absolutely. Man, talk about.
I was going to say something about it, but I figure we're close to break, so I shouldn't. But
well, we'll get to that. Yeah, we'll get to that coming up on the other side. I thought some interesting comments on Tim Kelly yesterday from Mike Vrabel. I thought some interesting comments on some players and what their futures could hold as well. We'll get to all that coming up on the other side. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. The second half of the NBA season is here, and you can turn every Thursday into payday with NBA on TNT on FanDuel Sportsbook. And it doesn't matter if you win or lose. FanDuel is giving all customers $10 back every Thursday in site credit. Just bet a $10 or more same game parlay on any NBA on TNT game. Same game parlays let you combine the money line, the point spread, player props, and more all into one wager. You got the Miami Heat taking on the Brooklyn Nets tonight. KD back for the Nets. The Heat coming off a loss last night. I think the Heat get it done on the money line tonight. Give me Tyler Hero over on points as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. And win or lose, you're guaranteed to get $10 added to your account. So if you're new to FanDuel, just sign up with promo code Rob to make every moment more this NBA season. Once again, that promo code is Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.